Tell your smartphone to smarten up. Subscribe to the Brady and Walker podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. On demand. Keep it here for more Brady and Walker. Only on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
8:23, it's Brady and Walker. Brady alone. Andrew out sick. We'll be back tomorrow with our usual Friday festivities and frivolity. Joey Vendetta's in for Jeff Blair today. You can't tell it's mid-December, can you? Sort of. Don't forget, doubleheader tonight on Sportsnet 360. Colorado and Pittsburgh, as Andrew and I just mentioned, Sidney Crosby probably back. And on Friday, I don't think you should wear one of those white masks while playing. You mentioned that on the subway. Are the people wearing the masks, are they sick themselves, or are they just worried that something can push them? Like, you're either really prepared or you're really contagious. There's no in between. I don't even think you can be both. I don't think you can be in 2014. Patrick, our winner of the Toronto hockey tickets to go see Toronto NHL team take on the Washington Capitals. He knew Felix Potvin. That's right. Felix Potvin was the player in question with all those particular clues. Did you know it? Well, maybe you did, maybe you didn't, but Patrick indeed did. By the way, something really, before we get to Jeremy Roenick, unbelievable in the American Hockey League last night, real quick. The game of the night between the Lehigh Valley Phantoms and the Binghamton Senators, you know, the rivalry that never ends. Lehigh Valley scored 3 goals in the first 36 seconds. They scored at 15 seconds, 27 seconds, and 36 seconds. They won the game 5-3. But you can imagine, you can absolutely imagine the feeling. They pulled the goaltender after 36 seconds. Andrew Hammond came out, of course, and Scott Green, and I have him in my AHL Fantasy League, came in and actually played pretty well after that. I was down in a must-win Ilderton versus Watford Pee-wee game. We were down 2-0 after 40 seconds in like a fifth game of a best of five at my little level of hockey. And we were beyond shocked. 3-0 after 36 seconds. I've never seen anything quite like that out of the start of a game. And naturally, Binghamton could not recover. 3 goals, 36 seconds. Our next guest, 500-plus goals in the NHL. You know him from NHL Network well. Both Andrew and I had a chance to talk to Jeremy Roenick and kick a bunch of teams around, including the Leafs, including the Boston Bruins. This is how it sounded.
We want to kind of start with the Boston Bruins. We were talking on the show a couple days ago about how windows open and close for teams. You've lived it. You've seen it. The Bruins have a cup. They've been to another final. Char is back, and a lot of people thought Zdeno Chara coming back, JR, would sort of be that magic fix, but they're still having trouble scoring goals. They're still getting great goaltending. Do you think they're more a bubble playoff team in the East, or do you just say, listen, there's 50 games left, fellas. There's no need to worry. The Bruins are still the Bruins. How do you view that particular team?
That's a tough one. I think Bruins are they're in a peculiar situation. They're battling the injury bug all year, obviously. Having Char out was really tough, but it's the goal scoring that's the issue for them. They are the Bruins, but you can't fall too far behind and too far back and expect to come back. I mean, you saw Detroit do it last year. Everybody thought Detroit was going to be out, and next thing they turn it on and make the playoffs. And Boston, you know, probably has a pretty good chance of doing that. But it's I'd be nervous if I was a Boston Bruins fan right now, because they just can't seem to put the puck in the net. A lot of young guys that aren't pulling the weight right now.
Well, and there's almost a comparison on the other side from people here in Toronto. I think people just assume that the Bruins are going to figure it out because they're the Bruins. And there's a lot of fans in this market, Jeremy, that they refuse to buy in on this Leafs team because they're used to being let down. But when you sit up there and you're watching how this Toronto team plays right now, yeah, they probably play a little more loose than you think. But, man, are they scoring a ton of goals more than anybody else in the National Hockey League. Is it okay for Leaf fans to get somewhat excited about this team?
Well, listen, let's hope history, you know, you learn from history and you learn from your past seasons. And if the team, the players in Toronto know anything, they know that they could get things swiped out from underneath them very quickly. I mean, especially the way they finished last year, losing 12-14 and missing the playoffs. So, they have to keep their pedal to the metal, and they're playing, they are playing really good hockey. I think, you know, defensively they're stronger. I think their goaltending as of late has been good, but you know, watching Kadri play lately has really has impressed me. You know, get a little bit more scoring to help Kessel, and Van Riemsdyk has been strong. So, you know, they're rolling on all cylinders right now. I mean, I just remember a month ago everybody was complaining because how bad they were playing. So, they just have to make sure that they don't go into any of these big slumps. They just keep winning. You know, 2 out of 3, 2 out of 4, and they'll be fine right now. But they are impressive right now. Really good speed team. That's why I think they're scoring a lot of goals, because their speed is pretty tough to control.
An amazing career. Jeremy Roenick joining us on Brady and Walker on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, the 513 goals. You can always see him on NHL and NBC coverage. Yeah, you mentioned that with Kadri, and it's one of those funny things, because people would look and say, well, a year ago at this time, it felt like they were shopping him, felt like they were peddling him. It clicked for you very early on in your NHL career, but you must have played with players, JR, who line mates maybe even, who you'd say, boy, they're not the same player they were 2 years ago. Thank goodness the Hawks or the Coyotes or whoever you're with, Philadelphia, thank goodness we didn't give up on that player and sell them for pennies on the dollar. And we're seeing that right now with Nazem. There are probably, like I said, players you played with like that.
Yeah, without question. I think, you know, I was blessed with playing with great players. There's no question about it. You know, I was a greedy player and put in the hard work. That's for sure. But I had definitely had the pleasure of having Hall of Famers, you know, on either side of me. You know, Kadri didn't, but he also had that reputation of being a partier, of not being all in, not being the hardest worker. And I you're right. I think, you know, he's got a couple guys in his line right now that are hard workers. You know, Daniel Winnick is a very good friend of mine, and I know him very well. And he's, you know, he's going to make you accountable to how you're playing, and he's going to back you up when you make mistakes. And that's a perfect kind of mentality for a kid like Kadri. So I hope he keeps going, because he's exciting to watch. Scored another beautiful goal last night. So it's, you know, I'd like to see the Toronto Maple Leafs in the playoffs, because it's, you know, an original six team, a team that, you know, I've enjoyed playing against and watching, and I think it's good for the league.
It is a tricky thing to evaluate too, isn't it, though? Because you look at Kadri, and it's because of the era we live in, where players are getting paid big bucks really early, way more than in your day. And you look at a guy like Nazem Kadri, and if his goal, if his want is, hey, I want to see a 5 or a 6 at the front end of my paycheck for next year when I need a contract, the way to do that, fairly or unfairly, is getting a ton of points. But for the Leafs to be successful, he has to be more that two-way guy, and maybe the huge point totals won't be there. Is that a difficult thing for the young players to kind of buy into these days?
It is. And, you know, I think that's it's a different mentality with players these days. And I think, you know, I always say I don't believe that the players are as tough or as mentally tough nowadays as they were, you know, 20 years ago. And I say that because, you know, 20 years ago we had to work every night for our salaries. We had to bang it out, you know, year after year to get, you know, the big money. You know, nowadays these kids are getting big money fast, and it's easy to take nights off. It's easy to let that little injury become a big injury and stay out 10 days instead of 4 days and get paid lots of money. You know, and now Kadri's up in a place where there's a lot of attention. There's a lot of media attention. There are a lot of eyes on him, and he's not going to be able to escape. He's not going to be able to hide from anything and how he plays. It's put points up. It's doing things defensively, and you have to do it night in, night out, or you're not going to get paid the big money. You know, and it's not just 1 year. You're not going to have an Alexander Semin have one big year, get a big contract, and then never see him again. So It's not, you can't do that in Toronto.
Great stuff from Jeremy Roenick on Brady and Walker this morning. Don't forget the 15 NHL Winter Classic. It's at Nationals Park, where the Washington Capitals will host the Chicago Blackhawks on NBC New Year's Day. Such a tradition now. JR, thanks so much for this. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. We appreciate the time. Our listeners do too. We love having you on. Thanks again.
Absolutely. Always good being on with you guys. Thanks.
Take care. 500-plus goals, Jeremy Roenick joining us on Brady and Walker at 8:32. So, Nick Kypreos in about 10 minutes will get his read on but the potential return for Sidney Crosby tonight, a jumbled-up Eastern Conference playoff pitcher for sure, and a pretty bad hockey team. The Leafs are playing tonight in the Carolina Hurricanes. We have a winner in Day 8 of the 12 fantastic days of Christmas, giving away that great Tissot T-Touch Expert Solar Watch. I don't think you can dive to the bottom of the ocean with it on. I never know why people need a watch anyway. You know, I'm down at the bottom of the ocean. There's a swordfish. It's 12:15. I'm missing lunch. I don't think you even need to swim with a watch on. That's me. It's not second nature. But congratulations, nonetheless, to Saren Tengtirasakul of Markham. Saren. Yeah. You've won a Tissot T-Touch Expert Solar Watch. Thanks for playing. The 12 fantastic days of Christmas. Tomorrow morning, it's our prize for day 9. Tickets to every Maple Leafs home game the rest of your life. And it's just the month of January, I'm told. I'm trying to hype up the Leafs and get excited, and it's very excited. When's Drake night at the Leafs, by the way? I think that's coming up soon. That's going to be great. Tickets to every Leafs home game in the month of January tomorrow morning is prize number 9 for day number 9. Enter to win at sportsnet590.ca. We'll announce the grand prize winner at this time Monday morning. I could listen to this music all day, and for a second I thought we were going to. All right.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. You're listening to Brady and Walker on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Joey Vendetta's in for Jeff Blair coming up at 9 o'clock. Want to mention this quote really quick. Lots swirling around the Chicago Bears. So Chris Conte's their safety. Sits out Monday night. He's got a back injury. He's got lots of injuries. He's had 2 concussions, and he goes on the radio. And everyone's all upset about this. And here's his quote. He went on WBBM AM on Monday, day of the game. I'd rather have the experience of playing in the NFL and die 10 to 15 years earlier than not play in the NFL and have a long life. And everybody's, oh, terrible message for young people. It's the same people that are grandparents of 8-year-olds messaging, you know, writing the FCC saying, how could you show Tom Brady swearing, even though there's no audio of it? Oh, my 8-year-old can read lips. I'm so offended. And we're all offended now about getting offended. But take it from, you don't have a real sense of mortality when you're 15, 16, 17, and you're trying to get somewhere in your sport. And yes, that magical devil comes down on the side of your shoulder, offers you the deal, offers you a hit song, offers you a hit movie, offers you a great athletic career, an Olympic gold medal. It's incredibly naive to think you should be able to tell that person not to take it at that particular point. His quote, I don't really look toward my life after football. I'll figure things out when I get there, as long as I outlive my parents, which is, I guess that's a goal we all do set. Live longer than mom and dad. Makes perfect sense. And mom and dad would want that too, but very interesting. We're in 2014. We're telling people how to act, how to behave. This interview movie thing, we'll talk to that a little bit about with Joey Vendetta in a little bit, is, it's something else, isn't it? We're free, but we're not. Nick Kypreos joins us now. We got Sportsnet 360 doubleheader action tonight. Colorado and Pittsburgh. Edmonton takes their traveling road show, and we mean that, into San Jose tonight for a 10:30 start. Do you want to talk about mumps? Not really, right? But
where's Walker? That's what I want to know.
Probably with
the injury. Is it mumps?
It could be mumps. He was swelling up, but I think that was more his midsection than the side of his face. You've probably never seen anything quite like it, and yet there was there ever as a player any sort of fear that, you know, the worst, right, is a bad case of the flu or a stomach bug that would pass through a dressing room? This is this is unprecedented in any sport, Nick, in any country that I'm aware of.
Yeah, just bad flus, mm-hmm. really. that could wipe out a dressing room and leave your lineup depleted. You know, the only thing that I could it could come close to, and this was just lack of knowledge or education, was when we heard when we were professional athletes and we heard that Magic Johnson was HIV, and we had no idea what that really was. We had no idea what it meant. There was a fear of blood in the National Hockey League. And I don't know if you remember, but if there was any blood seen at all, we were sent to the dressing room. Our jerseys were taken right off of us. And we had
how long did that last?
A new jersey put on. The trainers had gloves on for the first time, and there was no contact with blood whatsoever. And that was, again, just things that we did know. How long did it last?
Hell, like that seemed to settle down. Everybody was panicky and paranoid before we learned more about it.
I would probably say, we're talking 89, 90, 91. So I would probably say it lasted 6 months, the rest of the season, into the early part of the next season. And then it kind of subsided a little bit. It cooled down, but there was still that unknown. And I think we still, Darren Millard had a doctor on last night on
I saw,
Thursday,
yeah.
Wednesday Night Hockey that kind of talked about, the virus a little bit, the mumps. But again, how it truly is spread, and we, there's still a bit of the unknown, I'm sure, when it comes from player to player in the league.
So let me ask you about James Neal. He gets a $2,000 fine for diving. It was the second offense, as it were, in the isolated one play in particular. You know about players' reputations, and we can sometimes overdo it and over-magnify that, but James Neal also thought of as such a skilled player, a big-time finisher, but also a guy that's done some dirty things, and he's been suspended a few times. You lump this in. Can you shake that from your reputation, that you're more than willing to stick a guy, but you're also going to embellish?
Everybody has it in them to embellish, okay? I'll tell you that right now. I think the purpose of calling a guy out is to make it abundantly clear that we don't want this in our league anymore. So I think it can serve a purpose. James Neal's the first guy. We had him on the air. I'm sure other sports stations showed it as the first fine. And there is an element of embarrassment that comes with it. So I think now James Neal knows that he's been called out and he's been the center of attention for something that is less than, your proudest moment. So it should curtail him from doing it again. And I think it would send a pretty strong message to everyone else. Don't make it look too bad. And it was kind of funny. Did you get a good look at it?
Yeah, yeah. It was more a leap in the air than sort of staying down a long time, wasn't
exactly,
it?
Exactly, exactly. So it doesn't have the distaste of a blindside hit, but it kind of is the same thing where it's not accepted anymore. You don't need to go down that path. You don't need it. It's not a great hit, so stay away from it. And you don't want to be known as the guy now that could end a career on a blindside hit. So that it's really moved on from our game. We might see it here and there, but we certainly don't see it like we saw it 10 or 15 years ago. And I think they're hoping that the diving, calling guys out, having it shown on sports stations, throughout North America, we'll do the same thing and kind of get rid of the embellishment, the diving, and we can move on.
Nick Kiprios, our guest, Brady and Walker, 850. Of course, Sportsnet 360 doubleheader tonight, Colorado-Pittsburgh at 7 with probably Crosby's return, Edmonton-San Jose, the Lake. Want to ask you about the two Canadian teams that are swirling the drain, the Western Canadian teams, Vancouver. Dallas has the worst goals against in the league, and I watched a good chunk of the Canucks last night. Just look listless. They haven't looked right since probably even the Toronto game on the Saturday and then the loss to Ottawa. So they've gotten home and they've been bad. Then Calgary, it speaks for itself as well that a lot of us didn't think they'd sustain a playoff spot They're both going in the very wrong direction. 11 combined losses for those teams.
Well, you almost go back to the beginning of the season, and Vancouver, I think, was like eight. They got off to this great start where they're, what, 18-7 or something, really, and then it was like, are they for real? And Calgary, the same thing. You know, are they for real for a playoff spot? The Leafs are going through it now where everybody's sitting there going, are they for real? And yet we look now at Vancouver and Calgary, and they look more like the team that we thought we'd see at the beginning of the season. And Vancouver was a team of, can they make the playoffs? Are they close? Are they a playoff team? And that's what we're asking now at Christmas.
Yeah.
So Calgary still has the reputation of being this hardworking team that will go to the bitter end and fight. And despite their tailspin, you still see the scale moving upward for Calgary, and you see what the future may look like as they continue to progress and maybe get another draft pick. They are where they are. The one thing I will say for Vancouver, their top priority right now shouldn't be scoring goals. It should be getting somebody to throw a body check. Like, honestly, it was a no-hitter. There wasn't any emotion in their game last night against Dallas, and they just went away quietly.
Yeah, they were very flat out of the gate against the Rangers Saturday as well. That's how they've looked.
No, and Jim Benning's got to address that. I look at their top two lines, and I go, who's got some pushback? Who can turn the tide a little bit with an emotional, high energetic shift? And we know the skills there with the Sedins, Verbata, Bonino. But what we don't again see out of the Sedins, and that's that emotional charge, that leadership that says, I'm going to be a sore loser here. If I'm going to go down, I'm not going down quietly. And I think that's what they need back in their lineup. And the only one that had it really the last few years to a certain degree with consistency was Ryan Kessler.
Ryan Kessler is now there.
Kessler could go out there and piss somebody off. And right now Vancouver's missing that guy.
Yeah, it's happening very little. Nick, we'll be listening at noon, Hockey Central at noon today. Thanks for this.
Okay, Greg, have a great day.
There's Nick Kiprios joining us on Brady and Walker. Andrew should be back tomorrow. Joey Vendetta is going to have Bob McGill out of the gate at 9. Stefan Kintel, who watches these dives and dirty plays, will join him at 11 o'clock. You like a dirty play. Never mind. Listen, what do you make of this this interview?
Only if it's on Broadway.
Let me make of this interview. What do you make of this interview controversy? Everybody weighing in, right? Rob Lowe, Steve Carell, everybody on Twitter.
What are they saying?
You live in Hollywood. Just that it's unbelievable.
What are these people saying?
It's unbelievable the theater
changed. By the way, Hollywood is really not all it's cracked up to be.
I know that.
If you know the neighborhood at all, it's a dump.
Yeah.
Right? It's where people move to L.A. and they go to Hollywood. It's cheap to live there.
If I couldn't live in San Diego, I'd live in Santa Monica.
You would live in Carlsbad. You strike me as a Carlsbadian figure.
But it's unbelievable, isn't it? You've been to movie premieres. You know the story. You know there's controversial films.
I worked as an
films.
Usher. I've operated a flashlight in a dark area.
So what's more shocking? The theaters won't show the movie, or the Sony who makes the movie says, okay, let's just shelve it. It's not even going to come. Now, it'll leak out on video, or they'll have a change of heart. It'll end up on Netflix. It's going to be seen by people, way more people than would have seen it otherwise.
This goes beyond the movie not being shown. It goes beyond the theaters not wanting to show it. This is the most damaging cyber attack in U.S. business history and is costing Sony hundreds of millions of dollars. I'm not saying they may never recover from this. It's going to take a long time for them to recover. The woman who runs the studio, Amy Pascal, some of the emails they came out. And by the way, I agree with her, right? Because when you look at some of the actors and big Hollywood stars, the narcissism level is over the top.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So her ripping people, I'm like, by the way, she's not above her own narcissism. But the bottom line on the whole thing is that the North Koreans are to blame for everything. It's like my dad. He blames the North Koreans for everything.
Low gas prices right now. It's their fault, too.
It's the North Koreans' fault.
Bob McGill, the big daddy, at 9 o'clock. Joey Vendetta's in for 3 hours. Hockey Central at noon. We'll see you tomorrow.
Send us all your money. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, and we'll send you a free subscription for Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Absolutely free. The Raptors take out the Nets.
Toronto with the steal. 2-on-1. Lowry drive. Lay it up and in. Toronto with its biggest lead of the game. Lowry on the board with 16 points. The beat goes on for the Toronto Raptors. 4 wins in a row. It's a final at the ACC. Toronto 105, Brooklyn 89.
You're listening to Brady and Walker on Sportsnet 590. The Fan.
What's happening, Greg Brady? It is the 8 o'clock hour. Joey Vendetta's in for Jeff Blair, by the way. 105-89 for the Toronto Raptors over the Brooklyn Nets. How'd DeMar DeRozan play last night? 0 minutes. Oh, that's right. He's still injured. A 16-point win without their all-star. It's very difficult to argue he's not their best player, but you almost have co-best players the way Kyle Lowry's year has been. Jeremy Roenick later this hour as well. DeMar DeRozan, in his absence, we know he got hurt during the Dallas game, right? Played just a little bit, and he wasn't having his best night either, shooting 0-for-8. They ended up losing that game, lost to the Lakers later that weekend. I think we can admit now in retrospect, there was some sense of peril about the absence of DeMar DeRozan. Now, I want to take your phone calls on this and get to some texts and tweets as well. Tweet BradyFan590. Text at 590-590-590-590. When DeMar DeRozan went out, did you think at any point in time this team would win 4 straight games? And I got a news flash. They're going to win 6 straight games. They'll punk the Detroit Pistons on Friday night in Detroit, who are terrible, 5-21, and they'll beat the New York Knicks here on Sunday, and they'll be on a 6-game winning streak, going to Chicago, taking on Derrick Rose and the Bulls, just before the Christmas break. Then there's not much of a break after that because they play tough teams. 416-870-0590. The expectations for this team have changed so much in just, I'd say, 2 months. There's the roar out of the gate because there were known commodities about the Raptors and there were the unknowns. But there has not been a single game. Look around the NBA even last night. Look at what specifically Atlanta did to Cleveland. Going into Cleveland, the Hawks go there and absolutely lay a kicking on the Cleveland Cavaliers. And they trailed by 8 after the first quarter. They outscored them by 13 in the second, 15 in the third. And for good measure, they outscore Cleveland. And yes, LeBron played, Kevin Love played, Kyrie Irving played. They all were playing 127-98. Now, I want you to visualize how you'd react this morning if Atlanta came in here and won 127-98. 416-870-0590, *590. The Raptors are 7-2 since DeMar DeRozan's injury. Again, their schedule has lined up very nicely for them. We knew after that Cleveland game on the Friday night, we knew that after that Cavs game, it was kind of smooth sailing, right? You get your taste of Indiana, you go to MSG and play the Knicks there, and that was a little tricky. A little tricky on Sunday night, and then home games, Orlando, Brooklyn, go to Detroit, host New York. Utter patsies. They have 16 divisional games to play. 4 against the Celtics, the Knicks, the Sixers, can't forget them, and the Brooklyn Nets. Are they going to go worse than 14-2? I don't think so. Has there been a single moment where there hasn't been a very explainable defeat? When Kobe Bryant goes for a triple-double and it's your first game of Western swing, you understand losing. You're even hopeful you can win one of the next 2. And they won them both against Sacramento and Utah. Going to Cleveland. Oh, the Cavs, they're pretty upset. They're killing the Raptors in the first quarter. What'd they get? The first 11 points? Raptors end up winning that game 110-93. They basically did to Cleveland in Cleveland what Atlanta did last night. The fact there hasn't been I'd call it that stub your toe moment. And in the NBA, in the association, I think great teams have 4 or 5 of these. The San Antonio Spurs had one against this very same Raptors team in January of last year. Again, we can float every compliment the Raptors' way. We can send them all up the river and be very, very praising because nobody wants to be a member of the negative media. Media makes the teams play worse. It's so hard to play in this city because everyone's so critical. But you don't want to be too flowery about it either. I think the Raptors... And
and this goes without saying, they're going to play some Western teams. They're going to go to Golden State, go to the Clippers, and those are going to be tough games to win. But what they're not going to do, what you don't worry about now with this group, is getting embarrassed. What you don't worry about with this group is getting destroyed. 416-870-0590. We'll read a couple texts in a sec. They're 7-2 since the DeMar DeRozan injury. They're 20-6. A very non-narcissistic, egomaniac little team won on a night that was built around a very narcissistic, egomaniacal global brand manager representative last night. And hopefully there's not a Drake night in the spring. Don't have Drake night during the playoffs. Kind of let it be about the team, if that's cool. Dave and Barry, you're on Sportsnet 590, the Fan, on Brady and Walker at 808. Hi, Dave.
Morning, gentlemen. Merry Christmas.
Yeah, likewise.
I had a stitch of doubt when DeMar went down, but, you know, we can all look at the fact that he hasn't had the greatest year compared to Lou Williams, who really stepped it up for us, and you know, Kyle Lowry's just been the best signing that we could have made when there was that little bit of worry in the offseason. But this team is constructed the way Masai wants, and that's a depth team that acts like a San Antonio Spurs. We don't want to be a Miami Heat or a Chicago Bulls where we're a full course one unit team. We want to be a full team, and that's why I think they've had so much success, and they'll keep having so much success.
Yeah, you look at some of the shooting performance. That's a great thought on DeRozan, because you were hoping he'd start to play better, and then he got injured. And the fact they've got so many W's next to their name, and DeMar DeRozan wasn't playing well in a lot of those games. That Saturday night game in Cleveland, he shot 7 of 18. He was awful, and he doesn't trust his three-point game in the least. He won't go outside to shoot. He made a couple against Atlanta in a big win, one of his better shooting performances. But look at this. He's 4 of 15 against Orlando. They win. He's 9 of 25 in Boston. They win. He's 4 of 12 against Oklahoma City. They win. So he's shooting almost a career low. I thought he'd take a big step. I still think he's going to take a huge step this season. Based on playing in the summer in the FIBA World Cup, based on the fact that he's another year older and a little bit more mature. But like I said, as a group and as a unit, I mean, we're arguing last night, Chris Black, who's a great producer here on staff, Michael Grange, we're all fiddling around with what's the move to make? Who's the guy to replace? Do they need a upgrade on Amir Johnson if they want to get where they want to go? Do they need to upgrade on a Terrence Ross? You watched Joe Johnson play last night, and you watched Joe Johnson through his career. And he's always been that guy that teams want to add. Stiff price usually, right? Very stiff price for Joe Johnson, all told. But nonetheless, you look and you see a player that could be of considerable value. And everyone's always thought that. From starting off with Phoenix, I know he had a cup of coffee in Boston for a brief period of time, going to Phoenix. Then Atlanta signs him to a massive deal. Then Brooklyn acquires him. He's got value everywhere he goes. Now, Brent Gunning here on staff made the point they can't make this work salary-wise without trading a veteran out. But Joe Johnson's exactly the type of player you'd love to add to this squad. I'd love to add him anyway, but he gets another $24 million for next year. You're not in a salary cap crunch this year. You're in a crunch next year as well. Bottom line is Toronto's going to win the next couple games, and then, you know, Christmas holidays, a lot of people have time off. Put your feet up, and they're going to lose some games. But guess what? We've been saying that. We've been saying, hey, there might be a bit of an awakening coming for the Toronto Raptors. Bit of a rough stretch for the Toronto Raptors. They might lose 4 or 5. They might lose 3 in a row. Teams do that in the NBA. Hasn't happened yet. They're 20-6 and playing fantastically. On to the Leafs. The Leafs will play the Carolina Hurricanes tonight. And Carolina not playing very well. They've got a really interesting scenario going on. I don't think anyone thought they'd be quite this bad, but new GM, new head coach in Bill Peters, and they still have the two guys that everybody looks at in Eric Staal and Cam Ward, and they wonder how it's going to end for Eric Staal and Cam Ward. And we know that, look, the frustration of the fan base here, it's well documented. It goes back decades. And that said, the recent frustration for younger fans is very explainable. I know Andrew's off sick today, but Andrew bristled at the concept. You can't just say something's going to happen because it's happened previously. Because they had a regular season collapse, because they lost a playoff series in a game 7 that they had locked and loaded. It was people were making travel plans already for a Leafs-Rangers second round. Because they fell apart
in the season in which Ron Wilson was sacrificed for the fact the roster that Brian Burke put together wasn't good enough. All those reasons. Well, that's not why it's going to happen this year, per se. But nonetheless, you look at Carolina, they've got that Stanley Cup. And it is harder to trade players that have been part of an iconic accomplishment. It was hard to trade Wendell Clark here, right? What got accomplished? You were trading for Matt Sundin, and though it was emotionally a bit of a stab wound for a lot of people to watch Wendell Clark go to Quebec, guess what? Quebec flipped him to the Islanders the very next year. Okay, and Wendell Clark was sort of a nomad until kind of coming back to Toronto, right? Nobody remembers Wendell Clark's Tampa Bay Lightning, Detroit Red Wings, Chicago Blackhawks days exactly fondly. Carolina's got a huge call to make on Eric Staal. And they also have a big call to make in terms of whether they want to go full tank. Because it's hard to go half tank. There's enough teams down there already. Buffalo's 9 points ahead. Nine ahead of the Carolina Hurricanes thus far this season. Yet at no point during the NHL year would anyone have thought that was conceivable. And it wasn't conceivable also Edmonton would only have 20 points through 32 games. You didn't have to think the Oilers were a playoff team, a budding team, but nonetheless, you didn't think they were going to win 7 of 32. So it'll be interesting to see Leafs-Carolina tonight. We've got a Sportsnet 360 doubleheader. Colorado and Pittsburgh could be Sidney Crosby's return from mumps. That's right. He practiced yesterday, expected to play tonight against the Colorado Avalanche. That game on Sportsnet 360 at 7. Transition over to Edmonton in San Jose. That also on Sportsnet 360 with the NFL game on Sportsnet. Don't forget, tomorrow we'll preview hometown hockey going on in Kingston this weekend on the show and play the Terrible 10 as well. We have hockey tickets to give to you. Brady and Walker's ticket window now open once again at 8:14. Tickets for Toronto, Washington, January 7th. A $50 gift certificate to the Great Blue Heron Casino. This Leaf, here's clue number three. This Leaf played parts of 7 years with Toronto. He finished his career as a backup to Andrew Raycroft. Who's that Toronto player? 416-870-0590, star 590, 416-870-0590. Coming up, more on the Terrorists winning against Hollywood and Sony Pictures. And, of course, Jeremy Roenick on the way as well.